As we continue through the Sermon on the Mount this year, as we think about intentional discipleship, our focus continues to be listening to Jesus as he teaches us about life, as he teaches us about things that are important to him. I invite you this morning, as we continue through his sermon, to read with me and follow along as we read in the Sermon on the Mount words Jesus has for us today about becoming God's person and today being a giving person. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Jesus, teaching his disciples, says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. Our teaching from Jesus today may sound a little less challenging than some of the other teachings that we have discussed in the Sermon on the Mount. We've read some challenging teachings like loving your neighbors, going the extra mile, turning the other cheek, even lessons about murder and adultery and on and on. But giving to the needy, well, that's something we all do in one way or another. And we feel good when we do it. It's something we know we should do. And this passage maybe feels more comfortable to us than some of the others we've discussed the last few weeks. But I think it's important for us to pause and recognize Jesus isn't just talking about giving to the needy here. That's the focal point, but there's something underneath this teaching from Jesus as well that we need to listen to also. It's not just about giving to the needy. Jesus is also wanting to talk to us about why we give. Jesus wants to focus on our intentions. If there's one thing we've learned in the Sermon on the Mount as we've walked with Jesus through this series of teachings, we know Jesus is very concerned with our intentions, why we do what we do. Jesus continually teaches that God is as concerned with why we do what we do as what we do. Our intentions are important to God. So this morning, as we listen to these words from Jesus, we ask some important questions of ourselves. What are our intentions when we give? Why do we give? To the Jewish person in Jesus' day, there were three great cardinal, most important acts for the person of faith. If you were a person of faith, these three acts were most important in your life: almsgiving, giving to those in need, prayer, and fasting. Those three things were critical to the person who wanted to be faithful. And Jesus affirmed all three of these actions. But what troubled Jesus is that so often in life, the finest things or the very best things can actually be done for the wrong reasons or the wrong intentions. It's ironic, really. These three cardinal, most important acts really lend themselves toward being misused in our lives. Good works can often be done with the wrong motives. And here, Jesus warns his disciples and he warns us that when these things are done with the sole intention of bringing glory and honor to ourselves, then these three great actions lose their importance. For example, Jesus is teaching we might give, but not really to help another person. Sometimes a person might give just to demonstrate his or her own generosity. In other words, some people give to others simply because they love the praise and that they receive from these actions. The same can be true with prayer. Sometimes a person can pray and the prayer is not actually addressed to God, but it's really addressed to those who might be listening. Have you ever heard a prayer when someone was praying in a meeting or in a public gathering, and it was obvious that person was trying to make a point? Early in my ministry, the first church I served on a full-time basis, we were in a deacon's meeting one evening, and we were discussing a fairly contentious issue. I don't know exactly what the issue was. I don't remember, but it was one of those issues where the emotions in the room were raised and were heavy and intense, and there was a lot of heated discussion back and forth, and we didn't really get to any kind of resolution toward the end of the meeting, but it was time to wrap up, and the chair of the deacons turned to one of our life deacons and said, "Such and such, would you close us in prayer?" I thought it was a great plan until the individual started praying. I'll never forget the man prayed something like this. He said, "God, forgive the people in this room who are too dumb to understand what needs to happen here." His intentions with that prayer were not spiritual. It was obvious he was trying to make a point. And sometimes that happens in life, doesn't it? Sometimes even prayer can be used for our own personal purposes. The same can be true with fasting, the third of those cardinal acts. A person might fast, but maybe they do so to lose weight. Maybe they do so to show others how spiritual they are, or maybe for some other reason. That fasting has some benefits of its own, but it's not pleasing to God. Jesus is teaching us in this passage, even with these three cardinal acts of faith, that a person may practice good works, but may do so for the wrong reason. A person may do good deeds only so that he or she increases their own image in the sight and the eyes of others. Jesus says it's possible in life to do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. As Jesus saw it, there's no doubt when a person does the right thing for the wrong reasons, the person does receive some kind of benefit. He says it at least three times in chapter 6. I tell you, they have their reward. In other words, the best translation of that phrase is they have been paid in full. When we do things for the wrong reasons, we will receive a reward from it, but it's not the kind of reward God can give us. What Jesus is saying is this: if you give alms to demonstrate your generosity, you will have the admiration of others, but that's all you will get. That is your payment in full. If you pray in such a way to flaunt your own piety in front of others, you will gain a reputation of being a very devout person, but that's all you will receive. If you fast to let everyone know what you are doing, you will be known as a pious and faithful person. But again, that's the only reward you will get. That recognition will be your payment in full. In other words, if we do good things for the wrong reasons, we will get praise and we will get respect. But Jesus says, don't then also expect to receive rewards that only God can give. Giving for wrong reasons is not pleasing to God. And here's the point Jesus was trying to make. Jesus was saying, why would anyone want the rewards of this earth? Why would anyone want rewards that are temporal, that are passing, that are fleeting, instead of the rewards from God, which are eternal? and are everlasting. Doing the right thing for the wrong reasons will get you something, but you will not get anything of eternal value or significance, is what Jesus is teaching us. See, I think Jesus was insistent upon teaching how, in this passage, we are not to give. To the Jews, almsgiving was one of the most sacred of all religious duties. In fact, we can see just how sacred giving was to the Jews in the sense that they used the same Hebrew word, tzedakah, both for righteousness and almsgiving. These two things, almsgiving and righteousness, were seen as synonymous. To give alms was to be righteous. To be righteous was to give alms. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 read this way: almsgiving to a father shall not be blotted out, and as a substitute for sins, it shall stand firmly planted. In the day of affliction, it shall be remembered to thy credit. It shall obliterate thine iniquities. How powerful that is. There was also a rabbinic saying in the day of Jesus: greater is the one who gives alms than the one who offers all sacrifices. That's how significant this idea of giving was in Jesus' day. It was synonymous with being righteous. The two were the same. And because almsgiving was viewed as such an important thing, it was natural and it was obvious and inevitable that a person who wanted to be good, who wanted to be faithful, would concentrate their efforts on giving. The rabbis of Jesus' day also talked against ostentatious giving. They taught the one who gives in secret is greater than Moses. The almsgiving which saves from death, they said, is when the recipient does not know from whom he gets it, and when the giver does not know to whom he gives it. There was a rabbi who, when he wished to give alms around the time of Jesus, he simply dropped money behind him so he would not see who picked up the money. And the rabbi would say the reason he did this was it was better to give a person nothing than to give him something that would put him to shame. Associated with this idea, there was one really nice custom in the time of Jesus related to the temple. In the temple, there was a room called the Chamber of the Silent. And people who wished to make atonement for some particular sin, they could come into the Chamber of the Silent and they could put food or money or resources in that chamber. And poor people in the community could secretly be helped by the contributions of those who contributed to the Chamber of the Silent. But as with so many things in life, this wonderful idea did not always work as planned. Too often the giver gave in such a way that others would see him or her going into the Chamber of Silent with their arms full of things, just so people would see how much they were giving, bringing glory to themselves rather than to God. During worship services at the temple and the synagogues, offerings were always taken for the poor, and there were those who took great care to make sure everyone saw how much they were giving. One scholar writes about giving customs in this period of time. He says, in the Middle East, water was so scarce that sometimes it had to be bought. And when a person wanted to do a good act to bring a blessing to his or her family, the person would go to a water carrier with these instructions: give the thirsty a drink. And the water carrier filled his skin and went to the marketplace. Oh, thirsty ones, he would say, come to drink the offering. And the giver would stand by him and say, bless me, for I give you this drink. That is exactly what Jesus was condemning in this passage. That's why Jesus uses that harsh word, hypocrites, to talk about those who do these kinds of things. The Greek word hypocrite or hypocrites literally means an actor, one who is not real. And Jesus was saying there are those who are putting on an act designed just to glorify themselves, to make themselves look good. Well, this morning, as we think about this teaching from Jesus, what are some good reasons for us to give? What are some bad reasons that we should stay away from? Well, first, let's talk about a couple of things Jesus makes clear that we should not incorporate into our lives. One, we should not give simply out of a sense of duty. One wrong reason to give, or one reason that is not pleasing to God, is simply we give because we feel obligated. What sometimes develops when we do are involved with this kind of giving is a sense of feeling superiority over other people. When a person gives out of a sense of moral or spiritual obligation, then that person may tend to think that he or she is higher or in a better moral category than someone else. I have heard it said, with all of that person's giving, he never gives of himself. That's the kind of giving that Jesus is teaching against. That's the kind of attitude that Jesus is speaking against. That's why we read that passage earlier that we reap what we sow. It's that kind of attitude that Jesus is uplifting. And the obligatory praising of myself kind of attitude that Jesus is putting down. Obviously, Jesus is also teaching against giving for motives of prestige. In other words, a person may give simply for the glory and recognition that they receive, to make sure other people know that they are giving. And for these givers, they want to be properly thanked and recognized, and if they're not, they feel disgruntled. They feel discontent. Jesus is saying these kinds of givers are not bringing glory to God. They're much more focused on their own sense of self and prestige. But a different type of giving is what Jesus focuses on. A different type of giving, Jesus teaches, is when we give simply because we want to. Simply because it is a response to what God has done in our life. We give simply because it is what we know to do following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This kind of giving is not done simply because we're supposed to or feel like we have to. In this case, the person gives simply from the overflowing love and kindness that has filled their hearts, encouraging them to do so. Try as we may, these givers cannot rid ourselves of responsibility to others. We give because God has given to us, and we give because that is the example God has given that we are to follow. I read this week the story of Dr. Robert Johnson, a physician who lived many years ago by himself. Coming home late one night, Dr. Johnson found a woman lying on the street just outside of his house. She was so exhausted that she could not walk, and Dr. Johnson went over to her. He picked her up. He carried this woman into his house. He provided her a place for rest, for food, drink, and recuperation. He discovered over the next day or so that the woman lived on the streets. But instead of judging her, Dr. Johnson decided to care for her. And he took the next several weeks to care for her with tenderness and compassion. He provided for her medical needs. He gave her food and clothing for an extended period of time until she was able to get back on her feet and experience a new way of life. In a worldly sense, the only thing Dr. Johnson received for his actions was unworthy skepticism about his own character. Why would he allow this woman to stay in his house? But later, when asked, Dr. Johnson said, "It was all my heart allowed me to do." Someone said, "Dr. Johnson, how could you stand to have your house filled with such a, quote, undeserving person?" And he answered, "If I did not assist her, no one else would, and she would be lost to the kingdom of God. It is me doing for her what God has done for me. I give to someone else because God has so richly given to me." That, Jesus says, is real giving. Giving, which is that upsurge of love in our heart for a person because we know God and because we love God and we want to serve God and we want to model the kind of giving in our lives that God has given to us. We follow the pattern of the perfect giver, Jesus Christ himself. As Paul wrote in his letter to his friends in Corinth, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." That's the kind of giving Jesus teaches us that needs to be part of our lives. Jesus does not want our giving to be grim or self-righteous, focused on what it means for us. Instead, our giving can be genuine, an outflow of the love of God in our lives with a sincere heart. I believe Jesus says the bottom line for those who seek to follow him, to his disciples gathered around him on the hillside, to us gathered here this morning, the bottom line is this: as Christians, we are given the privilege to give of ourselves to other people as Jesus Christ gave of himself to us. And that, my friends, is the character of a truly blessed giving person. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this day we are grateful for your word that has come to us on the lips and the teachings of your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Lord, we recognize that you want us to focus on our motives and intentions as well as our actions. Lord, search our hearts. Know the motives that we have. Give us cleansing for those times when we fail you. And give us strength to do the right things for the right reasons. For we pray all of this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.